Without further ado, we'd like to introduce our speaker for this evening. We're just very pleased to have Debbie okay with us tonight. And Debbie's been in OA for...
Coming up to 20 years.
20 years, and spent much of your life in California. Is that where you're from? Came out here to be with the grandchildren? And has...
You've been doing your homework.
Yeah, hey. I looked up your entry on Wikipedia. The picture doesn't really do you
whatever,
justice.
You cannot borrow my glasses anymore.
Anyway, Debbie's going to share her experience in OA and you know, the trials and tribulations, the triumphs and so forth. And I think it's going to be a wonderful evening for us of recovery. And please welcome Debbie Kay.
Thank you. My name's Debbie Kay. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
And I haven't done this. I jotted down a few things, so I probably will be glancing. I really tried not to do that, and I told someone earlier that I really resisted the whole 3x5 card thing, you know, where I would, like in eighth grade, when you get up and read your speech, and you do it real quick. But I did jot down a few things. I haven't done this in years. And when I was asked to speak years ago, probably... 3 or 4 years into program, I was probably 60 pounds thinner than I am now. And so at that time, I had lost 100 pounds, and I was being approached often to speak at meetings, both inside and outside of my area where my home meetings were. And at that time, it was because of the tremendous physical recovery I had. And I look back on that and realize that, you know, that kind of really, that really fed into my ego, of course. But it was a good thing, and I enjoyed doing it. So when Amy asked me to share tonight, I immediately picked up that invisible bat that I carry real close to my side at all times and thought, why would anyone want to hear my story when I'm 60 pounds overweight and when I have, even in program, my weight has fluctuated up and down so much. But I decided to turn it over, and I sat out in my car tonight before I came in and kind of, you know, connected with my higher power and just asked him to put the words in my mouth that I needed to say. And it's really just about telling my truth, telling my experience, strength, and hope in almost 20 years in program. And for me, it also works at lessening the shame. Definitely works at lessening the shame. And to start, I'd like to just read today's entry in my very tattered and battered little for today. I think I bought this at my very first meeting, and I just wanted to read that to start out with. It's today's entry. Being entirely honest with oneself is a good exercise. Sigmund Freud. Turning things around is the primary function of the 12-step program. Where once my inclination was to sweep everything under the rug, to avert my gaze from reality, today I find relief from much resentment and anger by looking honestly at myself. Where once I was quick to blame anyone and anything for my troubles, today it is my own motives and actions that get my attention. Self-honesty is an excellent treatment for what ails me, especially for the destructive emotions of anger and resentment. For today, self-honesty makes me feel good about myself. I mean, that is even in the days when I was out of program, which was about 4.5 years right before I moved to Colorado. I retired and moved to an area up in the mountains in northernmost California where, well, you know, I would tell people, well, there's just no meetings up here. There's just no meetings. Well, there were meetings 50 miles in both directions, but I chose not to do that. So when I came to Colorado and gained 40 pounds within a very short period of time after I moved here, which that move was to come here to be near my daughter, who was pregnant and delivered my first grandchild, first and only yet still, about 4 weeks later. So that was what brought me here. And I quickly started gaining weight back. I had been down within a pretty close arena of where I like to be, where I would like to be. But, yeah, anyway, so I came back into OA to the Tuesday meeting. You know, I really don't remember. I want to say it was maybe April. It was in the spring. But anyway, so my story from the very beginning, I was raised by people who most closely than anyone I know resembled Ward and June Cleaver. And hopefully you all know who Ward and June Cleaver is. There might be a few in here that are a little too young. But and for my mom especially, who definitely ruled the roost, everything was about appearances. And as long as people could look in the window and see that my mother had the apron on and that dinner was being cooked on the stove and the table was set and the children were neat and tidy and clean and thin, life was good. And this is how I was raised. I was raised in a home where guilt and shame were values. They were definitely values that were doled out on a daily basis. I heard almost daily, you should be ashamed of yourself, or, you know, whatever. And food was very controlled and doled out by my mother. She served everything from the stove. We never had family style. I remember the neighbors across the street, who I was very good friends with two of their four children, they would have me over for dinner, and they would have what I now know is family style, where the food would actually be put on the table. And I didn't even know what to do with myself. I was a scrawny kid. I mean, very underweight. People would give my mother a bad time, often about, you know, don't you feed this kid. But my mother, I think, who was at 5'6", never weighed over 106 pounds unless she was pregnant, was very, very thin. And it was extremely important to her that she look that way. And she was. She was a beautiful woman. She and my father had kind of, you know, definitely Ward and June Cleaver, but on the dance floor, I remember they danced like Fred and Ginger. Mm-hmm. And they were, but it always felt like feelings didn't matter. It was just about appearances. It was about how we looked, to especially the neighbors. So my weight started going up and down. Oh, I was probably 16 when I went on my first diet, and I was tall. I was probably, you know, in my adult life, I was a little over 5'7", but at the time I was probably 5'6" or so and weighed about 110 pounds and remembered thinking, ooh, I'm getting up there, you know, I better diet. So that whole diet cycle started at a very young age. I have lost up to 100 pounds at a time. I've done many 50s, 60s, 70s. I was the star of Jenny Craig. I was the star of Weight Watchers, always pulling in those big numbers and, you know, really getting into the applause and all of that. I did, one of my diets was 500 calories a day and a pack of cigarettes. That was in my early 20s. Very thin, over-exercised. I tried purging a few times, but that didn't work so much for me. But I remember thinking I wished I could do that, because then at least I would be thin and at least my mother would be happy. In addition to all of that, I had really no relationship with God or any kind of a higher power. I was raised a Lutheran, and these were the days in the 50s and 60s where, you know, the pastor, the preacher, the minister would, you know, pound on the thumpet and the, you know, the walls would crumble and fall down in a Jericho and all that crap. Mm-hmm. But so the God of my understanding as a child was a wrathful and punishing God, and based on a lot of fear. At 38 years old, I incest memories started surfacing for me, and quickly brought me to my knees and took me into therapy. And it was that therapist who helped me not only confront my incest perpetrator, which I did, but also was the first one to recommend OA to me. So I think I did my first meeting when I was about 38, 39. Tried it once, thought y'all were just really crazy. Was very put off by the God word, because I couldn't figure out in my little God of my understanding as a child head what God would have to do with overeating or with being fat or with anything like that. So I went back out, gained and lost probably a bunch more weight, and then after dropping out of Jenny Craig at 80-something pound weight loss and getting to about 10 pounds from my goal, which was often my, I always had the goal weight, and I would often get real close, and then I would stop, and then I'd be right back in the food, and because I wasn't dealing with why I was eating, obviously. So I went back into OA 20 years ago this year, and got a sponsor immediately, and just, you know, started following directions. And I remember her first assignment to me was to do a want ad for a higher power. And that was probably the most profound thing at that point that I had ever done on a spiritual basis. And I remember calling her over and over and over again and saying, okay, now wait a minute, I can write down anything I want? She said, yeah, this is your higher power. You are defining this. You are making a want ad that you're going to put in the paper, so to speak, for your higher power. And that was really the start of the whole spiritual connection with OA for me, and very profound. I started working the steps, which was a real scary process, especially when you get to, you know, 7 and 8. It kind of kicked my ass, steps 8 and 9 especially, but I did it, and I made my amends, and it was very humbling, and I came to realize that I had a higher power that did work in my life, and then things started to change, and I started realizing that all the emotional stuff that I blamed on everyone else around me really came down to me and getting honest, and it became just totally about honesty and getting real. Went through divorced, went through several failed relationships over the years, and just became willing to realize that it was really about me, and it was about learning to be honest with myself, and only then could I ever be in any sort of a successful relationship. My weight continued to go up and down, though, and then, like I said, I retired and moved up to northernmost California, and there was no OA that I was willing to go to. Came to Denver, gained the 40 pounds, came back to OA, like I said, last spring. So I guess for me, the success of my story is that I keep coming back. The success of my story is that I know that this is the last house on the block. There's no other place for me to go. And it's about getting real. It's about knowing that this is where I'm at home, where I belong. And I am not the same person I was 20 years ago. I lead my life completely differently. I used to go into stores and we called it stickering, and I did it with a friend, and we would go in and we would take the sticker off of this with the cheaper price, and then take the sticker off of this item and put it over there. I used to go to model homes and steal things, and it never would have occurred to me if I got the wrong change from a drive-through restaurant or anywhere to give them back and say, oh, I'm sorry, you gave me the wrong change. Or if someone dropped a $20 bill, it never would have occurred to me to go up to that person and say, you know. And now it never occurs to me to do anything but that, doing the right thing. And that is all definitely a blessing of program and honesty and working the steps and just being real about who I am. I did, through therapy, and I think as much therapy as OA, forgave my brother, who is my incest perpetrator, and he and I to now have a wonderful relationship. The forgiveness of that came through working this program and through, again, the honesty. I've made peace with my mom before she died and with my dad about how I was raised, and have been able to be honest about that. I've stopped the cycle of guilt and shame with my own kids. I raised my own kids very much differently, and they are these amazing, amazing human beings who I am just so proud of and proud to have been involved in in making them who they are. With the food, obviously, I still struggle. And I was thinking a lot about it this week, that being abstinent, I'm realizing more and more, because I have days, or I have groups of days where my food is clean. And it's about clarity. And if I can get clear, if I can get clear in my mind, then I can do the work. And I can do the work not only for my own recovery, but I can then do what I have to do in the way of service. And it's about the clarity, because when I'm in the sugar, when I'm in the carbs, when I'm in whatever I'm in at the moment, it's a fog. I mean, it's truly just a fog that you're walking in, and you're not. And how do you give back, and how do you stay with a program when your head is not clear? So that is really where I'm realizing I am. And you know, it's about using the tools. And I am constantly sure that no one wants to get my call, sure that I'm going to be bothering someone, or I'm going to be waking somebody up, or they're going to remember, oh yeah, I know who that is. No, I don't really want to talk to her. It's about reading the literature. It's about showing up and planting my ass in a seat in a meeting, even on days when I don't want to be there, even on days when I'm sure I have nothing good to say, to just show up, suit up and show up, like the big book says. And for me, it's also about acceptance. I read page 449 of the big book on a regular basis. It's in some ways the crux of the whole thing for me. It's about accepting that your life is exactly as it's supposed to be at this moment. And so I think that's about all I have to say. I'm very nervous, and I hope it's okay that I didn't share for the whole 20 minutes. I'd like to close with a prayer that I learned from a newcomer in a meeting I was in probably 15 years ago. And it's something I say every morning when I wake up and get ready to go about my day. And it says, God of light, spirit of the universe, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live. And that's kind of it in a nutshell, that it's doing those first three steps every day. And depending on the higher power that I wrote that one ad for 20 years ago to show me how to live and to show me what recovery can be. So thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.